It is abundantly clear that not all of us have been given the same task from the Lord to do. That, of course, is illustrated well in the harvest. For while one may be given to the sowing, and another may be given even to the watering, and still another is given to the task of gathering in the precious harvest. It was also a truth that was evident in the church of Corinth. For in their carnal thinking, there was a division amongst the church. For while some had their favorite in Paul, for others their favorite was Apollos. But God was to remind them through the apostle that it is the Lord Himself that gives the increase. And indeed, whether it is one who plants or one who waters, they were equal in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says, Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Not all have the same task, but all of God's people, we do serve under the same master. And we all do need the same power in which to do the work that God has given to us. And you know that is evident when we consider Ruth, as she begged leave here from her mother Naomi, her mother-in-law Naomi, to go out and to glean in the harvest field. And in those days in Israel, there were the reapers. And the reapers were found among the sheaves. But then there were also the gleaners. Those who followed the reapers, generally they were the poor people. They were the people who hadn't the wherewithal to own a field. But yet they needed whatever small tokens of grain they could gather up. They needed to be sustained. And so you look into the picture of the field, the harvest field in Israel, around the house of bread, and you would have seen the reapers among the sheaves, and then you'd have seen others following. They were called the gleaners. And immediately we can picture that scene in our own eye, that the reapers and the gleaners are working together in the same field. The reaper may have a greater scope to work in, and they may receive the greater blessings, but of course, with that comes along the greater responsibilities. But whether a reaper or a gleaner, both were precious in the sight of the Master. This morning, I want to look for a short time at Ruth. And she was a gleaner. And I want us to consider ourselves. And I want you to consider especially as a gleaner in the light of the question that Ruth was to face that evening that she received from Naomi. You'll find it at the start of verse 19. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? That's a good question. Here is a work for every one of God's people. Let me show you firstly here this morning a faithful gleaner. Are you one who is engaged in this worthwhile work this morning? It is certainly that which Ruth put her hand to when she returned to Bethlehem with Naomi at that joyous time of the barley harvest. And from this verse, it is evident that she was one who was faithful. For Naomi that night, she could see for herself how well she had done, as she was able to show to her what she had gleaned. And from the verses that precede, we learn from Ruth what it is to be a faithful gleaner. The work of gleaning was that which was painful, for it invariably meant a lot of stooping. That's stooping down in order to gather up the ears of corn that were left behind from the reapers. It was a hard work. It was a humble work, which meant a lot of stooping over, but one which was rewarding. And can the same not be said about us as we seek to glean among the sheaves of God's precious word? It takes a lot of stooping in prayer. It is a hard work. It is a humble work. It's a work of humility. But the wheat is there in abundance to be lifted. And there must needs be that time spent in seeking the grain and that which our soul requires. This painful work of stooping did not deter Ruth from going out into the harvest field as one of the gleaners. I wonder, what about you this morning? Are you engaged in a worthwhile work of stooping into the scriptures? Can I say, before you come out of the house of God today, were you found in the book? Were you stooping there? You see, not only was it a painful work, it was also a work that one had to persevere in. If there was one thing about the gleaner, then it's the fact that their work was slow. And if there was that spirit to succeed and to have a good bundle at the end of the day, then the gleaner must be willing to go on after they became weary. They weren't the reapers. They weren't among the abundance of the sheaves. They were gathering up the little picklets, the little ears that were left behind. It was a slow work. They had to persevere. When we consider Ruth this morning, and coming that night into her home with the evidence of her labors, then we must realize how persevering she was in the task of gleaning. Indeed, she was one who was noticed by the servants, for the report is given there in the words of verse 7, that she had gleaned even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Look at the words of verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even. And men and women, young people, that is a picture of persisting, of persevering in the work at hand. And you know, the exhortation to the child of God, it comes to us similarly from the book of Galatians. For it says there, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Tell me, are you one who is persevering in the work of gleaning in the Word of God? There are no shortcuts in this work. There's no shortcuts that we can take. There must be a continual gleaning, whether it be in the morning or evening, whether it be both times, whether it be throughout the day. Are you gleaning well? Or am I preaching to one who has grown weary? Once you were in the book, but the book has dust on it now in your home. It's never opened. I wonder, have we been faithful in this regard? You see, so often with a new convert, there is that zeal, there is that insatiable desire to drink in the Word of God, to learn more. And you know, we haven't enough time to learn more about Christ. There is that zeal about us. But for one reason or another, sometimes after a while, there's a slacking off. And maybe there's a weariness from the battling every day sets in. And the proneness is to leave off. The gleaning work, to lean off, stooping into the Word. And the result is that there's a coldness of heart, and there's a walking afar off from God, and you wonder why you've stopped leaning. You've stopped doing the work that you need to do. It was a painful work, it was a persevering work, but notice also that a faithful gleaner is a work that is precise and often in a very particular corner. Occasionally the gleaner will be able to pick up a handful of purpose. But for the most part, it is straw by straw. It's a single ear followed by a single ear of corn. The law of God stated, of course, that the widow and the stranger could come into the field and glean from the corners that were left. You turn back to Leviticus, for example, chapter 19. The words of verse 9. And here was the law given to the nation of Israel. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. And so the command was clear. They were not to clean cut the ground. Now, of course, that's, I suppose, not the case today. And as far as the big machines can get into the corner, they'll go. But that wasn't the law with God. The law of God was that they were to leave the little corner. The law of God was that they weren't to go back over the gleanings. They were to leave them. They see, because God has a mind for the poor and a heart for the stranger as well. And you'll see it again in Deuteronomy chapter 24, if you turn to that, in the words of verse 9. 19. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, thou hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. They were different. The gleaners were different from the reapers who were among the sheaves. And consequently, the gleaner was one who had a work to that was tireless and a work to build up their supply slowly. Dear believer, you may not be able to go forth into the great harvest fields of spiritual depths as a reaper. Very few of us can. But in the quiet corner where God has you, your gleaning nevertheless is not despised by the Lord of the harvest, and you're precious in His sight. The Scriptures are that field. Search after them, search in them piece by piece, ear by ear, corner by corner. Glean among the giant stalks of doctrinal and prophetical corn, and your soul will yet be blessed. Pick up the precious grain, and it will prove to be sufficient enough for you. For God knows what you're in need of, and He is able to feed your soul with that fresh corn from the storehouses of God's heaven. You know, what can be said of gleaning in God's Word can also be applied to the great harvest field of service in this world. You may not be able to go where others have went to reap for God. You may not be able to go among the great masses of people, but in your particular place, as a little chorus of the children puts it, in your small corner, God doesn't despise your gleaning, and He doesn't despise your service for Him. There are still the single ears of precious corn that God has for you on your doorstep. And they are to be reaped for Christ. Dear mother, this morning, maybe you long to be able to do much more for God. But you know, those children around your feet are what God desires for you to glean for Him. Dear man or woman in workplace, you feel that all your time and all your energy is taken up and given to work. But don't forget the ears of corn that God has placed around you. And cross your path and come into your workplace and come into your yard. And they are there. They're waiting to be reaped. There will be the pain at times. There will be certainly needed much patience and persevering. But I tell you, the work of the gleaner is a work that every one of God's people can do. I wonder, have you been faithful in this work? Just as Ruth was. Let me show you secondly this morning the rewards of the gleaner. Even though the gleaner is not the reaper, yet there are the fruits, there are the rewards of their work. And that certainly was the case with Ruth. If you notice that her reward was to receive a promise from the master. Look at verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, she's in the home, she's in here that late at night, she's brought the fruits of her work of that day, and she's speaking to her mother-in-law Naomi, and she says to her, he said unto me also. The master spoke to her. Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. He spoke to her. He gave her the promise that as she had been blessed that day, so it was but the beginning of many days to follow. The promise to her was that there was more to come. She would be blessed until the end of the harvest. The first fruits of that day were but an earnest of what was to follow. The promises were far-reaching. For she was to receive the promise of protection. You'll see it in the words of verse 9. He said, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? She had the promise of protection. She had the promise of provision. For she was given access to the refreshing water, the very same water by which the reapers had drawn and would even partake of themselves. At mealtime, she was sitting amongst the reapers. Oh, she was only a gleaner, but she was sitting amongst the reapers. She was just as precious as they were in the eyes of the Master. And dear believer, when we come as gleaners before the field of God's Word, are there not the promises there for us? Promises which are eternal as God is. Promises which are as sure because they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Consider that when you first came in contact with the Master and the blessings you received at your conversion, those blessings, those first blessings, were the first of many to follow. And with the seal of His Holy Spirit, there's the promise of more to come. Ephesians 1, in the words of verse 13, speaking of Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed unto that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. How can you be saved this morning if you're in this meeting? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's hearing the word of the gospel. But it's not enough merely to hear. There has to be a receiving. There has to be a receiving of the Lamb of God. There has to be a believing in Christ. And when that soul comes in repentance and in faith and accepts Christ as their Savior, then the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And there's the sealing of that work that is done. That Holy Spirit of promise. And that is the promise of a greater inheritance that is to follow. And of more promises that are to come. Does God's people not have the promise of the Lord's protection and provision? The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What protection that gives. He has said, for your Father knoweth what things ye are in need of before you ask Him. He is able to meet us at the point of our need. When we come to glean from God's word, then truly we can say, every promise of the book is mine. What promise did you glean this morning from God's book? What promise did you lay to heart this week and this past? They're yours in Christ if you're saved. You see also that Ruth was to be rewarded not only with a promise, but with a sufficient portion. And she was to be satisfied. A mealtime it states that she was to eat, and she was sufficed, and she left. She received from the hand of the Master. There was none who ever went away hungry from the table of the Lord. If you're hungry this morning, that's not God's fault. That's not the Lord's fault. If you're hungry this morning because it is, you haven't participated of His promises and His sufficient portion that He has given. Ruth didn't go away hungry. Ruth, as a gleaner, was satisfied. And what she was to bring home that day was also a sufficient portion. For consider that not only did she persist through the day, but we read there that she also threshed that which she had gathered. Verse 17. So she had gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. She beat it out. She didn't carry a heavy bundle of gleanings home with her. She didn't carry the chaff home. But rather, she beat it out, she thrashed it, so that the useless chaff was left behind, and she only carried home that which was of use. Here's a woman, she only desired the pure grain to be brought home. Should the same not be the action of every believer? You might say to me, how do you work that out? How do I apply that to my heart? Well, instead of thrashing the preacher by finding his faults and his plenty, instead of thrashing the preacher or someone else that's taking part in the work of God as you leave the house of God, I'll give you a better advice and counsel this morning. Thrash out the message. Don't thrash the laborer, thrash the message out. Talk over it. What it is of benefit to your soul, pray that which is of God will remain to your heart, and the chaff of man will be blown away. Thrash the message out. Oh, to be like the believers in Berea. Acts 17 and verse 11, we read of them. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. There was a preparation of heart before they come to God's house, if you like. And they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so sitting under the preaching of the Word, and they went out through the door, that wasn't it for them. But they took that Word with them. They got the book open, and they searched those things. They thrashed through the message. I tell you, once that you have the pure truths, then not only will you be able to feed upon them and be satisfied, but you shall also be able to hand it out also to others then. I wonder, are you satisfied this morning? The Holy Spirit, you see, allows us here a glimpse into the abundant portion that Ruth took home that night. It says there in verse 17, it was an ephah of barley. Now, how much was that? How great was her reward that day? Consequently, how great is the reward of all gleaners of the Lord? If you turn back to Exodus chapter 16, I think you'll see in the context how greatly she was blessed. How great and sufficient was her portion. Exodus 16 takes us into the wilderness. The children of Israel were provided for by the Lord through the wilderness wanderings. You look at the words of verse 16, and it's speaking there about the manna. The manna that came from the storehouses of heaven. And this is a thing which the Lord hath commanded. He said, gather of it every man according to his eating an omer. For according to the number, every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And they were to gather an omer of manna every day for every man. And on the sixth day of the week, they were to gather two omers so they weren't going out to work in the Sabbath. I turn to the end of the chapter. Verse 36. God doesn't leave us in darkness. He says, now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. What did Ruth bring home that day, that night? Ruth brought home that evening not a day's supply. Not even 2 days' supply. She brought home 10 days' supply, or 5 days' supply for her and Naomi. That's how sufficient her portion was. That's how much God blessed her. What a lesson. God is no debtor to any man. And He rewards those that glean much in the precious field of His Word. I may ask you this morning, are you satisfied with Christ? Are you satisfied with His Word this morning? There's a lot of God's people in the show on their face. They're not satisfied. And they show in their demeanor that they're not satisfied. And you know what happens? They go and scratch about the weeds of the world for more. And they'll come and they'll say, we'll have to get the drums into the church. And then we'll be satisfied. We'll have to do away with the hymn books in the church and we'll get up the big screens. Then we'll be satisfied. And they're scratching about the weeds. Are you satisfied this morning? I want to tell you something. Christ satisfies. Not the world. Not all your possessions. But Christ satisfies. His Word will satisfy. Ruth had a sufficient portion. Notice also that her reward, not only of promises and of the sufficient portion, but there was also the commands. Ruth was to receive a command as a gleaner. Verse 8. And Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. It was a command of separation. It was a command of being consistent to the task at hand. The other fields of harvest were not for her. For she was to abide fast where she was. By Boaz's maidens. And when we come to glean in God's Word, are there not also the commands of the Lord that He gives to us? His Word directs us. His Word guides us in the way in which we should go. His Word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. There are the commands of separation. We are to separate from the unfruitful works of darkness. We are to reprove them. We are not to be joined unto the unequal yoke. There are the commands to show consistency in our work and in our walk with God. No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's the words of the Savior. What the church is bedogged with today is inconsistency. If it suits the child of God to be in the prayer meeting, then it'll be there. If it doesn't, too bad. If it suits to be in the house of God on a Sunday night, we'll be there. But if there's some other rave up the road, we'll go to it. And there's inconsistency in the walk. And there's ups and there's valleys and there's more valleys than there is mountains in many lives of God's people. But God has given us this book, men and women, young people, that we might walk with Him. He's given us the commands. What more do we need? We do need to obey those commands. What rewards then that Leaner has before the Word of God? Where hast thou leaned today? Where have you been leaning? Let me show you finally the field of the Leaner. In what field are you to be found? You know, there's a vast difference between the field of the world and the field of the Word. For Ruth, a stranger, she was to be guided to a particular field. We read at the start of the chapter that her hap was to light upon a part of the field. There was no mistake with God. There's no coincidence with God. She wasn't left to chance, as neither any one of us are. His providence was to bring her into the field of one who would reveal Himself to her. We've already noted how He spoke to her. He knew everything about her. He knew how she had left the land of her birth, that heathen land of Moab. And she had left the land of her birth and the family and the friends behind. She had forsaken them all for the people of God. He had learned of how her husband had died. The field in which she was in was that of a man who revealed himself to her. It was the field of a righteous man. He greeted his workers in the name of the Lord. You see that in the words of verse 4 there. The Lord be with you. Not many masters do that today. I tell you, if you worked into your shop or into your workplace tomorrow and said, "The Lord bless you," they'll be looking at you. They're saying something's wrong with that boy. And you see the answer they got back? "The Lord bless thee." What a start to the day. He was a righteous man. He was a man who frequently used the word of Jehovah. It was on his heart, it was on his lips. He was a man who showed nothing but grace and mercy to Ruth. He gave her a liberty that she had among the reapers. She could go among the sheaves. He blessed her abundantly above all that she could ask or even think. For He commanded that handfuls of purpose be given to her. Now tell me, is not this what the Lord has also done for us? He has dealt with us in mercy and grace when He would have been justified in damning our souls in a lost sinner's eternity as those outside the covenants of promise, as those who are rebels to God. Yet, child of God, the Lord has dealt with us in grace and in mercy. You come before His Word, it is Christ who reveals Himself to us as one who speaks to us along the way, just as He did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it is the Master who knows when we need those handfuls of purpose in our gleaning. That little word in season. That message just for your heart, which encourages you to no end. It is the Lord who has given us liberty and freedom. For thank God, for whom the Lord sets free, shall be free indeed. He doesn't put His people in bondage. We're not in chains this morning. Thank God He sets us free from the bondage of our sin and the bondage of the flesh and of the world. He gives us liberty. See also that it is a field of the rewarder. Anything that Ruth was to have was to come from the hand of her Master. She received every token of His goodness. She knew by experience the truth of the words of John 15:5, "For without me ye can do nothing." And so it is with God's people as we glean from the Word. He has given us all good things. He has given us the aid of the divine author of the Scriptures, even the blessed Spirit of truth, who will guide us into all truth, who will not speak of himself, but rather shall be witness of and glorify God. Oh, men and women, understand that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Maybe I'm preaching to one that's not saved this harvest time, and God has spared your life for another harvest. You have much to be thankful for. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you seek the Lord earnestly, he will be found of you. He'll save you. Doesn't matter what you've been running after this 30, 40, 60, 70 years. What sin that has been accredited to your account, he'll save you. And that account can be wiped clean this morning. Why? Because there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary's cross. And then you'll know that rich reward that only he can give us of his so great salvation. The field was one who revealed himself. The field was one of a rewarder. But notice that the field of Ruth was that of her Redeemer. Now the words, verse 20. Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsman." Boaz was one who was both willing and able and had the right to redeem Ruth. He was her kinsman redeemer. Dear soul, gleaning in the Word of God is gleaning after our Redeemer kinsman. For open the book, he is to be found in all its pages. The one who was willing. For God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He was willing. He was able. For there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He was that one who was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He was able. And he had the right. Because he alone went to the cross. And he alone gave himself to the smiters. Christ was to purchase our redemption by the shedding of his own precious life's blood. There on the cross, he satisfied divine justice, and he fulfilled the perfect law of God, and he laid down his life so that he might redeem his people unto himself. He was willing. He was able. And he has the right to redeem his people. No other has. No other can. Let me ask you in closing this morning, is he your Redeemer? Is he your Savior? Do you know what it is to have redemption through his blood? Even the forgiveness of sins. This harvest time. Is he your Redeemer kinsman? Is this where you're gleaning today? If not, then come to Christ now. Settle the account now. Come and be saved. You can leave this house this morning as a child of God, saved, washed in the Redeemer's precious blood. Oh, men and women, I trust the Lord would write that word on your heart this morning. The question, where hast thou gleaned today?